Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 18th of February, fighting flares on the Ukrainian border with Russia. Over 500,000 children displaced by the war in Syria risk their lives in freezing weather conditions. And Pope Francis warns that when compassion is lacking, idolatry and ideology set in. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Ukraine and Russia-backed separatists have blamed each other for an outbreak of fighting in the country's rebel-held east that killed and injured several soldiers. As Stefan Boss reports, Ukraine's president has called the clashes an attempt to derail efforts to end the conflict, which has killed more than 14,000 people.
Ukraine's military says its forces on the eastern front line have come under heavy rebel shelling. It claims one soldier was killed and four wounded in Tuesday's battle near Solate, a frontline village in the Luhansk region of eastern Ukraine. But Russian-backed separatists blame Ukrainian government troops for the latest fighting. They said Ukrainian soldiers tried to break through their lines but were caught in a minefield. The separatist rebels claimed that two Ukrainian soldiers were killed and three wounded. They also said that the Ukrainian shelling damaged civilian infrastructure in the villages of Kirovsk and Donetsk. It was the latest in a series of clashes that have rocked the troubled region. Residents have often been shaken by fighting here. The conflict has already killed more than 14,000 people since 2014. Some fighters have since returned home from the front lines, but they still carry the emotional scars of the war. Roman Sinenko is now a taxi driver, but he has been a volunteer in the Ukrainian army, where he fought in a notorious battle for the town of Iluvaisk. Many of his fellow soldiers were killed or injured. There we were continuously ambushed on our military convoy for several kilometers, he recalls. It was like a shooting range and we were the targets. Sinenko, who also writes books about his experiences, adds that his wife tells him that he will never come back from Iluvaisk because he is always thinking and writing about it, and we will have to live with it. Russia has always denied it supports the rebels with weapons and troops, but Ukrainian soldiers claim they have seen them. Ukraine's new president Volodymyr Zelensky had hoped to end the clashes. He denounced Tuesday's attack as a cynical provocation to further derail an already shaky ceasefire. During a meeting in Paris in December, the leaders of Russia, Ukraine, France and Germany made a deal to exchange prisoners. And they pledged to ensure a lasting ceasefire in fighting between Ukrainian troops and Russia-backed separatists. They made no progress, however, on key contentious issues. They include a timeline for local elections in eastern Ukraine and when Ukraine can get back control of its borders in the rebel-held region. President Zelensky said he would call a meeting of his Security Council to discuss the situation, amid mounting concerns that it will become more difficult to end this bloody conflict. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Over 500,000 children have been displaced in Syria because of the violence and harsh winter weather in the northeast of the country. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
A report made public on Tuesday by UNICEF gives details of how over 500,000 children have had to flee their homes in northwest Syria, both because of intensified violence in the area and due to freezing cold weather conditions. Tens of thousands of these children are now living in tents and many in the open air, exposed to the cold and rain. As the weather continues to get colder in the region, organizations like UNICEF are trying to raise awareness of the plight of these children and of all those who are internally displaced without adequate protection against the elements. Last winter, at least 130 children died on their way to or soon after arriving at the Al-Hol refugee camp in northwest Syria. 77 children have been killed or injured since the beginning of this year alone as a result of an escalation in the violence and fighting in the region. UNICEF Executive Director Henrietta Fore has described the situation as untenable even by Syria's grim standards. Children and families are caught between the violence, the biting cold, the lack of food, and the desperate living conditions, she says. Such abject disregard for the safety and well-being of children and families is beyond the pale and must not go on. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Meanwhile, at a meeting in Moscow today, Turkey told Russia that its military is ready to make sure that Russian-backed Syrian forces pull out from the last rebel bastion in northwest Syria. Syrian forces, supported by a Russian air campaign, are waging an offensive on parts of the province of Idlib near Turkey, prompting thousands of civilians to flee and Turkey to demand a ceasefire. The United Nations has acknowledged Pakistan's blueprint for hosting refugees as a reference for the rest of the world to follow. Antonio Guterres, UN Secretary General, was speaking at an international conference in Islamabad where he had particular words of concern for those fleeing war in Afghanistan.
Working towards solutions for the Afghan people is not just a sign of solidarity, it's in the world's best interests. Afghans now constitute the largest group of arrivals in Europe, exceeding for the first time the arrivals from Syria, and returns to Afghanistan, as it was said, have hit an historical low. Afghanistan and its people cannot be abandoned. Now it's the time for the international community to act and to deliver.
And that was Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres. China's health officials today released a raft of data about the deadliness of the COVID-19 coronavirus. The sickened people over 80 are those most at risk. As Devon Watkins reports, Tuesday also saw a decrease in the number of new cases in China.
China reported nearly 1,900 new coronavirus cases on Tuesday, the lowest single-day figure so far this month. New cases outside Hubei province were only 79, down from nearly 900 on February 4th. The World Health Organization's Director General says the trend is welcome, but that it's too soon to celebrate.
This trend must be interpreted very cautiously. Trends can change as new populations are affected. It's too early to tell if this reported decline will continue. Every scenario is still on the table.
Meanwhile, Chinese health officials published details of more than 44,000 cases of the COVID-19 coronavirus on Tuesday. This is the first study of its kind and provides information about the mortality rates for various age groups. The report shows that more than 80% of coronavirus cases in China have been mild. The sick and those over 80 years of age are most at risk. Hubei province, where the outbreak began, has a death rate of 2.9% compared with 0.4% in the rest of the country. The average likelihood that someone infected with COVID-19 in China will die is currently 2.3%. Of the 44,000 cases involved, nearly 14% were severe and only 4.7% critical. Experts say the virus's mortality rate will likely go down as more cases are discovered. However, the study warns that the COVID-19 coronavirus is highly contagious and can spread extremely rapidly if left unchecked. I'm Devon Watkins.
As the people of Iran prepare to go to the polls for a parliamentary election this week, the country's supreme leader called for participation in the vote. Speaking on state television, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said that voting is a religious duty for Iranians. Iran's Guardian Council vetting body has rejected some over 6,500 moderate or conservative hopefuls in favor of hardliners from among the 14,000 applicants seeking to contest the vote on February the 21st. About a third of lawmakers have also been barred from standing again. Due to the large number of disqualified candidates, hardliners loyal to Khamenei are likely to dominate the 290-seat parliament. In Colombia, 7 people were killed and 11 more injured when a military vehicle exploded on Monday evening. Officials said the blast took place in the southeast of the country, in a key drug trafficking region where illegal armed groups vie for control. In the Vatican, an investigation which began last October and that focused on 5 Holy See employees who were suspended has been enlarged. A communique issued by the Holy See Press Office today said Monsignor Alberto Perlasca, former head of the administrative office of the first section of the Secretariat of State, has become the sixth suspect in the investigation. The communique states that the measure was undertaken pursuant to the investigation into financial and real estate investments by the Secretariat of State and is linked, while respecting the presumption of innocence, to what emerged in the initial interrogations of the officials under investigation who had already been suspended. And finally, Pope Francis today reminded the faithful that what God wants of us is an open heart full of compassion, not an idolatrous one hardened by selfishness and ideologies. As Robin Gomes reports, he was speaking during the homily at morning Mass in the Casa Santa Marta.
In his homily at Mass, Pope Francis reflected on the day's Gospel from St. Mark, where the disciples are worried about the shortage of bread in the boat where Jesus is. The Pope pointed out that the concern for a material good had got the better of them, which is why Jesus rebukes them that they cannot understand because their hearts are hardened. They had forgotten about the multiplication of 5 loaves to feed 5,000, after which several baskets had been collected. The Gospel episode, the Pope said, speaks about the difference between a hardened heart like that of the disciples and a compassionate heart like that of the Lord.
Il Signore, la volontà del Signore è la compassione. Misericordia voglio e non sacrifici.
The Pope said that compassion is what the Lord wants in us, adding, "Mercy I want, not sacrifice." The Holy Father said that a heart without compassion becomes idolatrous. A self-sufficient heart goes ahead, sustained by its own selfishness and ideologies. And the medicine against this hardness of heart, the Pope said, is memory, which keeps the heart open and faithful. When the heart hardens, the Pope said, one forgets the grace of salvation and of gratuitousness.
Il cuore duro porta alle lite, porta alle guerre.
Pope Francis said that a hardened heart leads to quarrels, to wars, to selfishness and the destruction of the brother and sister because there is no compassion. The Pope said that the greatest message of salvation is that God had compassion on us. Jesus is the compassion of the Father. The Gospel often says that Jesus had compassion seeing a person or a painful situation. Jesus is the slap to every hardness of heart, the Pope said. Likewise, the Holy Father said that we also need to be open and compassionate in the face of what is happening in the world. It is on this that we shall be judged at the last judgment, not by our ideas or our ideologies, Pope Francis said. I'm Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us again tomorrow at this very same time for more. Meanwhile, for these and other stories, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch our latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. My thanks go to Gaetano Paradisi Miconi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.